Next week we're going to do that one as sing-along, okay? It's good to see a lot of new faces today. If you're just kind of joining us here for today, you're entering in on the final part in our series called Follow the Yellow Brick Road. However, it is not the final step on the Yellow Brick Road. For those of you who've been with us know that this series, what we've been talking about here, is you all seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. You know how there's this young lady named Dorothy who just sitting in her house one day and all of a sudden a tornado came and kind of swept her up and she ended up in this funny land called Oz. We said the same way like Dorothy, every single person who's here today kind of knows what that feels like. Because we all had kind of tornadoes in our life that kind of brought us to here. When I'm talking about here, I'm talking about in this particular church. And some people tornado is called grad school. Some people tornado is called job. Some people tornado is called a relationship. Some people tornado is just the guy next to you who just wouldn't stop bugging you to come to visit this church. For whatever reason, we all ended up in this place. And now that we're here, we said we're here for a purpose. Okay? And the purpose is kind of the same for all of us, but it's kind of different for every one of us. We said the purpose for every single one of us is to find a new phase in our relationship with God. Okay? Because God, we said, likes new stuff. So no matter where you are in life, I don't know who you are or where you are or where you're going, but I know one thing. God brought you here to this church, to St. Mark's Church, to take you the next step in your relationship with Him. Whether you're here, here, anywhere in between, God wants you to take the next step. So, how do we take the next step? Well, just like Dorothy, the lion, the tiger, or the scarecrow, and the Tin Man guy, okay, someone's a bear, just like those guys, okay, how do you find that what you're looking for? You just follow the yellow brick road. And all of you appeared on the landscape right here, and you didn't realize it, but this church, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has laid down like a path for us to follow in our spiritual life. And we didn't know it as we were going along, but as we look back now, we see that the church has laid down certain practices and certain principles for us to follow. And if we follow this road, I promise you, you will discover that next phase in your relationship with God. The bricks in this yellow brick road consist of the New Year's themes for every year over the past 7 years. Okay, starting in 2001, the church said every year we're going to focus on some different virtue or practice or habit or something. And when we kind of look back and put them all together, we see that God was like laying a path. And it's that path that brought us to here. I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of people who are sitting here today. I mean, I would venture to say less than 10% of the people here was here 7 years ago. And I would say of that 10%, maybe 1% remembers anything from 7 years ago. And kind of as we go back in time, you know, less and less or more people join throughout this time. It's important that you understand, like, we are today who, who we are today is based on the steps that we've taken over the past several years. Talked about them like the song said. We talked about unity. Talked about unity in prayer. Talked about the Bible. Talked about quiet time. Talked about humility. And today is going to take us our final step in this series, but it's not the final step in the road because the road continues as many years as this church is in existence. So what's the final step in the path? In order to understand this step, this final brick here we're going to talk about today, this is actually one of the most important ones. Okay, and if I put all these bricks together, I want to say one is more important than another, but this is one of those like tying together kind of bricks that kind of ties together a lot of the other bricks that we talked about and kind of makes them all shoot off in the same direction. To understand this, we need to back up and ask ourselves an important question. If I asked you, what is the goal of life? Specifically, of course, I'm talking spiritually. What's the goal? Why are we here? To sing songs? To take communion, to fast and pray and do parties and events and Bible studies? Is that the goal, to study the Bible? What's the goal of everything that we do? I would summarize the goal of everything we do, and you should as well, in one word, or one phrase. The goal of everything we do is the image of Christ. Easy. Like that's the goal of everything we do. When we read the Bible, when we pray, the goal of everything we do is we do what Romans 8:29 teaches us. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay? It says, if you were to ask God, God, what's your goal for me? Like, here, insert my name. I'm Abuna Anthony. What's your goal for me today? What's your goal for me in life? Say, easy. See the picture of my son? I want you to look like him. I want you to think like him. I want you to behave like him. I want you to have his character. I want you to have his thought pattern. Everything him is exactly what I want for you to be in life. Another verse, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Says that we should no longer be children, but may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. The goal of life is that we grow in all things to be like the head who is Christ. This is important to understand. We don't pray for the sake of praying. We don't repent for the sake of repenting. We don't fast for the sake of fasting. We don't study the Bible just for the sake of studying the Bible. We do all these things with one thing in mind. I need to be the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That takes growth according to that verse. Now we need to make a distinction between two things. There's a difference between, agree with me, there's a difference between growing up and just growing old. And a lot of us are growing old in Christ. Just years are just kind of going by. But we're still the same kind of person. I was and I is and I will be the same person to the day I die. That's not growing up in Christ. Okay? Growing up in Christ means maturing. Means I look back on my life and I was here. My prayer life was here. Now it's here. My life, my understanding of the Word of God was here. Now it's here. I'm not saying it's got to go leaps and bounds overnight. But what I'm saying is, am I growing up? Am I maturing or not? You ask yourself this question. Don't listen to me. Ask yourself, are you maturing? Or are you just trying to stay the course? If I had a baby, there's beautiful babies all around here today, okay? And there's cute babies, and we see them, and they goo-goo, and they gaga, and they poop in their pants, and they spit up on stuff, and it's cute. Somehow a baby poops in his pants, and it's cute. If he's 16, 17 years old, still pooping his pants. It's not cute. It's a tragedy. That's like something's not functioning right. Same thing spiritually. I'm worried that some of us, in terms of number of years in Christ, is many years. But we may still be pooping our pants. You know what I'm saying? Symbolically, you know what I'm saying? We may still have the maturity level of like an infant. That's a tragedy. The goal that we decided for 2006 is we're going to focus on this every single day. Growing in his image. And that's the next step in our yellow brick road right here. So, here's the goal for you. I want you to become like Christ. Okay? There's our action item for today. Become like Christ. Some of you must be thinking the same thing I was thinking. That ain't easy to do. And I think it's probably going to take more than a year, right? In fact, it does take more than a year. It actually takes a lifetime. But it's the kind of thing that I have to set the goal, and every day, every year especially, but at least, you know, more than every year, every month, every day, I want to get a little bit closer to that end goal. Imagine that you're going to a faraway place. Imagine you're going to go into outer space. Okay, you're going to get in a rocket ship, and you're going to travel to a far, far away planet. Let's see, which planet? Everyone's favorite planet is Uranus. Okay? So let's say you're going to Uranus, okay? And you set your target to get to Uranus at some point in time. It's a very, very, very far away target, okay? And it's the kind of thing that's going to take you years and years and years. But here's the thing with driving a spaceship, is you have to be exact on the coordinates. Let's say I'm trying to go from here to Uranus, okay? And I'm supposed to go at exactly like 45 degrees. Let's say this is 45 degrees. And let's say I'm just at 43 and a half degrees. Just a degree and a half. Even 44 degrees. What's going to happen? What's going to happen over time? I may not see a difference today between 45 degrees and 44 degrees, but what's going to happen over time? Is over time, the slight deviation, watch this, extrapolates out, big word, okay? When you extrapolate it out, it makes a big difference. And a spaceship that's supposed to be at 45 degrees and instead of 44 degrees is going to be in big trouble. It's not going to make it. Same thing spiritually. spiritually, it doesn't take major deviations for you to miss your target. All it takes is slight deviations. So if you're in the spaceship and you're traveling this far away distance and you don't want to miss the mark, what are you going to do? Every single day, you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to check, what degree am I on? Right? And before you go to sleep at night, you're going to check what degree I'm on. Right? You're not going to say, I'll check it next week. Let's just travel. No, a week traveling at spaceship speeds, okay, is very detrimental if you're not 100%. Same thing spiritually. Spiritually, you know what kills us spiritually? It's not the space shuttle exploding. What kills us spiritually is these slight deviations. I'm not worried that anyone here is going to become a Muslim or an atheist or a heathen or something like that. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is that when exams come around in college, I'll be slightly deviated. When this beautiful looking girl walks by, I may be slightly more deviated. I'm worried that when the pressures and the jobs and the monies and the cars come, I'm not going to throw away my religion, but I'm just going to deviate slightly. And I'm telling you, that's much more dangerous. Do you guys know what the definition of the word sin is? Like, if you go to the Greek word, okay, for sin, it's amartia. Literally means missing the mark. That's like the literal definition. And the image is like a bullseye, and an amartia, or a sin, is if here's the bullseye and you just landed right here. Not that you were off the charts, not that you missed the target, but you just wasn't on the bullseye. That's what sin is. What's going to destroy your spiritual life is not murder and adultery and these big things. What has the potential to destroy you is just missing the mark. See, I get scared that sometimes we think a sin is just, you know, I didn't murder, I didn't commit adultery. But sin is not that. Sin is just, if you were supposed to land right there, and you landed right there. So what to do? That's where we get into the goal of 2006. Like I said, if you're in a rocket ship, you check your course as often as possible. Make sure you're on 45 degrees. We're going to do the same thing spiritually. Look what it says here, how often or how we should do this thing. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is what our goal is going to be for this year, is that we allow God to search us and try us and see if there's any wicked way. And very much, if you guys were in the second liturgy today, and we talked and you heard the sermon today, talked about focusing on the kingdom of heaven, not on the kingdom of earth. Beautiful. I love it. Perfect. That's what that verse says. It says, let me not every day go on my online banking and make sure that some of us go online banking every day and make sure that my money is on track and my stocks is on track and my football team is on track and my all this stuff, and we weigh ourselves 1,000 times a day, make sure that my fat belly is on track. How about my spiritual life? If I check those things daily, do I check my spirit? Do I check to make sure that me and the kingdom of heaven is on the same track today? Or you know what? I'll worry about it. In Lent. When Lent comes, let me work on it then. Or during the retreat, let me work on it. The goal of 2006 is daily self-examination. This is the last step in our yellow brick road for this series. What daily self-examination means like that verse said, examine myself, see if there's any wicked way in me, and do it how often? Every single day. I know as soon as I said, I could have said self-examination, and you guys would be okay with it. But I threw in a word at the beginning that everyone's going to be not okay with, which is daily. I don't like daily. I like self-examination on Good Friday. This is when I examine myself. Self-examination, like I said, when I hear a great sermon, examine, then kind of let it go. But every day? Why would I examine myself daily? I don't do bad stuff every day, do I? Look here, if you're thinking that, this is a problem. You know you're thinking that. Okay, I tell you who's thinking that. The people who, when I ask them, hadn't seen them in a while, you know, what's going on? How's life? How's your spiritual life? Everything's okay. Nothing major going on. Nothing major going on. I get scared when someone says nothing major going on. We got to get rid of this idea of major sins versus minor sins. Let me debunk that myth right now. Okay? The idea that major sins is what kills you, and minor sins, okay, they're not that big a deal. I got news for you. There are many people who have no major sins who will never see the light of heaven. There are many people who never murdered, never committed adultery, never see the light of heaven. You're going to find a lot of people in the kingdom of hell who had no major sins. Nothing major. But they missed the mark. See what I'm saying? They missed the mark. I don't care if you murdered, adulterated, or haven't murdered, or haven't adulterated. I don't care. The goal is the image and likeness of Christ. Are you growing in that daily or not? Don't tell me I didn't murder today. Don't tell me I didn't rob a bank today. I don't care. The goal is, again, if I'm trying to get to Uranus, am I taking a step closer today or not? You know the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins? You know that story, right? How there was 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. The foolish ones, or the wise ones, were waiting and had oil in their lamps. The foolish ones had lamps, no oil. Okay? In the end, foolish ones don't make it inside the wedding banquet. Let me ask you a question. What was the big sin of these 5 foolish virgins? They didn't call them 5 prostitutes. They were virgins who kept themselves pure and who waited all stinking night and who even brought their lamps. What did they do that's so bad? Oh, no, wait a minute. They were just slightly off the mark. Now, I'm not saying this to try to scare you and say you got to be perfect to make it into heaven. You don't got to be perfect to make it into heaven, and there's no such thing as perfect. But what I am saying is you can't say, well, I'm a virgin, and I'm waiting all night, and I got a lamp. Okay, enough's enough. I don't need to check myself anymore. What I'm saying is every single day you need to check yourself and see. So you don't end up like these guys. Because these guys had no big sins, but they didn't end up where they needed to be. They were just a little bit off. Tell you something else. If you're still focused on the major sin, stay focused on it. Principle of life. Every major sin began with a minor sin. Fact of life. Every adulterous relationship, every sexual intercourse began with a kiss. Even before a kiss, began with a look. Even before a look, began with a thought. You can't tell me otherwise. Where was I? Oh yeah, Uranus. No, I'm sure. Every murder began with a hateful thought. Every, like, backstabbing began with, like, a jealousy or an envy or whatever. Every big thing began with a little thing. Look at Judas, the worst man in all the world. Judas did a big, big, big sin. Did it start off as a big sin? Did Judas say, I'm going to betray this man, I'm going to make sure he dies a painful death? Is that what he said about Christ? I'll make sure he dies, make sure he's crucified, make sure he's got the thorns in his head? What did Judas say? He said, what's a little pocket money on the side going to harm anyone? That's a little bit of change. You know, Friday night. What's the big deal? There's a little bit of greed. Wasn't a major sin, he didn't rob a bank. It's a little bit greedy. You see where that minor sin took it. Psalms chapter 2 verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. I love this verse because this verse is exactly what we're talking about. Our goal for this, for the year of 2006 and our next step in the Yellow Brick Road is that every day we look for the foxes. We look for the little foxes because it only takes a little fox to destroy an entire vineyard. And that's what we want to do. So the goal is that before we get to stealing, we judge the greedy thought. Before we get to the adulterous relationship, we judge the sexual thought or the sexual feeling or the look or something like that. Before we get to the judging on another person, we judge the little bit of like resentment or envy or jealousy or something like that. Because the bottom line is, whether you drown in 200 feet of water or in 20 feet of water, your end will be the same. Okay, whether you die because of big sins or little sins, if you drown, doesn't matter how many feet of water it is, your life is over. So the goal of self-examination is every day, as I go and I see the little things that could cause problems, and I nip them out, nip them in the bud. Why is this so important? Two quick reasons. Number one, why it's important to do it every single day. Like, I'm sure by now you're convinced on self-examination, but on the daily part of it. Why it's important to do every single day? Number one, because if I don't do it every day, I will forget. This is a fact of life. Don't believe me? Forget about sins. Tell me what you ate for lunch Monday afternoon. Tell me, someone remembered what they ate for lunch. Okay, very good. Okay, kind of put a hole in my argument right there, but that's okay. In general, we don't remember stuff from day to day, okay? Maybe one person remembers what she ate. Maybe she had some great Mac Daddy sandwich, someone paid for her, something like that. Must have been something fancy. But in general, we don't remember. So if you're banking on the fact that I'm going to confess monthly or even every 2 months or something like that and remember everything that I've ever done, come on. You're joking yourself. We can't remember everything that happened. And forgetting about it doesn't solve it. Like, that's the thing that we got to understand here. That if I have stuff inside me and I forget it and I just kind of sweep it under the carpet, it doesn't make it go away. Okay? Not dealing with the problem doesn't make the problem go away. I wish it did. I wish. Every one of us wishes that it did. But the bottom line is that it doesn't. So undealt with sin doesn't go away. It just becomes worse. It becomes nasty and rotten. That's why the devil, believe me, the devil will fight hard against daily self-examination. He will fight hard. Because do you know what daily self-examination is? It's the termite spray. It's the termite spray. You know when that guy comes to your house and says, I need to do the termite spray. You say, look here, man, I'm busy. I don't got time to open the door for you. You got to make my kids leave the house. I don't got time, man. He says the same thing every time. He says, look here, buddy, I can leave, but that doesn't make the termites go away. Just because you don't see the termites, they're inside there. And if I leave, I'm going to come back in a year from now and charge you like $10,000 to fix all this kind of stuff. So I say, okay, come. Same thing. That's why the devil is going to every time convince you, no. Send the termite man away. Don't worry. Do you see it? You can't see any big termites or anything. Yeah, but it's what's lying underneath there that could be very dangerous. Think about it. Anytime you go to confession, for those who practice the sacrament of confession, I guarantee you, if you're not doing daily self-examination, I guarantee you go to confess, and all you talk about is whatever happened in the past week, 2 weeks at most. And it's just big stuff. That's why it's like, I got a disaster in my life, I need to confess. Look here, with or without that disaster, you need to confess. Because every day, like I said, there may be slight deviations that need to be fixed. So what you need to do is examine them daily and adjust. It's a lot easier to adjust 1 degree than 10 degrees, than 20 degrees, than 30 degrees. Some of us, you know how, when you want to clean your house, if you ain't cleaned the closet for years, like, schedule an afternoon. Okay, it could take some time. But if you're regularly cleaning the stuff, okay, it kind of goes quicker. Some of you haven't opened up in there for years. That's not good. Schedule an afternoon off. Because you're going to need to dig through there, and you're going to need the big mop. You may need 2 or 3 mops. But when you get in the habit of daily self-examining, you go in there, just a little spray here and there, a little dabble do you. Okay? And it'll fix all that kinds of stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us how we should do it every single day. We all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Goal in life, I said, is that image. How are we transformed to that image? Is that we behold as in a mirror. I guarantee you, every single one of you, before you left your house this morning, checked your hair in a mirror. You checked your tie in a mirror. Checked to make sure that your emma was on straight in a mirror. You checked to make sure that physically you were okay. What about inside? Did you check or you never check? Where the inside's not as important as the outside to you. Which do you check more often? Daily self-examination is a chance to stand in front of the mirror, and just like a doctor, like you remove the stuff and you get naked in front of God. Okay, you remove the layers and the pretending to be this and the trying, you remove all that junk. You stand before God and you let God examine you. That's number one. Second reason why it's important to daily self-examine ourselves is because it will make me ready for death. Sorry, you don't want to talk about death, you got to talk about death. Why? Because death is inevitable. I would like to talk about lunch. Lunch may happen, may not happen, but death will definitely happen. Self-examination helps me to be prepared for it. We're going to talk about self-examination, about the logistics of it in a little bit, and how to do it. One thing that we do say, is that it's a nighttime thing. Self-exam is to your nighttime what quiet time is to your morning. We talked about quiet time a few weeks ago, and how it's start a day every day in the presence of the Lord. We should end our day in the presence of the Lord as well. And the same way we have our morning quiet time, we have our nighttime self-exam. From a very, very young age, we were taught that every single night, you prepare yourself in case you don't wake up. Sorry, it's something that you don't want to hear. It's something that the church fathers teach us, and even like the little, Mother Goose and all them people teach us. What is the little bedtime song that the kids sing? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You don't know this one? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Kids say that. It's kind of an eerie thing that you teach kids. I don't know how it passed all the FDA and all that kind of stuff. But it's what the kids all say these days. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. From a very young age, we were taught, you must prepare yourself that you may close your eyes and may not wake up. You don't want to think about it, but you got to be prepared. The church teaches us this as well. In the Egbeia, in the book of hours that we pray, the church teaches us, if you focus on the prayers of the evening, the 11th and 12th hour, they're all focused on preparing for your death. And the church teaches us that every single day you must prepare for your death. If you look in your handout, I pulled an excerpt, just one excerpt from the 12th hour prayer. Look what it says. It's fitting of self-examination, 100%. Behold, I'm about to stand before the just judge. This is what you say before you lie in your bed. I'm about to stand before the just judge, terrified and shaken because of my many sins, for a life spent in pleasure deserves condemnation. But repent, O my soul, as long as you're dwelling on the earth. For inside the grave dust cannot praise, nor among the dead does anyone remember, nor in Hades does anyone give thanks. Therefore arise from the slumber of your laziness, entreating the Savior in repentance, saying, O God, have mercy on me and save me. That's daily self-examination. The church taught us. It's not something I'm inventing. The church teaches us, arise from the slumber of your laziness and repent, saying, God, have mercy on me and save me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 gives us a biblical basis as well. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The Lord stressed on this. He didn't just say as a thief. What difference does it make if a thief comes in the day or in the night? Like, either way, he's going to harm you. He's going to rob you day or night. No, he stressed on night. Because if I told you a thief is coming at 3 p.m., then the most important time that you prepare is 2:55 p.m., okay? Like, it doesn't do much good to be prepared at 3 a.m. You must be prepared at 2:55, right before 3 p.m. That's the time to call 911. Same thing. The Lord says a thief is coming at night. So what should you do? Get up before you go to bed and prepare yourself for the kingdom of God to come. Prepare yourself to meet your just judge that night. I think, okay, even though we had this as a theme for the year, I'll be the first one to admit, in my life, as well as in what I think the majority of us here, are much better at quiet time in the morning than at self-exam at night. I'm not saying one is more important than the other, but what I am saying is, both are needed. Okay? Both are needed. We need to focus on preparing ourselves at night. All right. How to do it, logistically. How to examine myself. In the back table, okay, just like we did for quiet time, we printed up little pamphlets, little guides to self-examination that you can all pick up on your way out. Some of you may have it, you can get it on the website, whatever. I'm just going to run through the steps real quick. You can read there for more details. But what you'll see, it's very parallel to how we talked a quiet time should be. The first step is you must set a time. Again, I'm big on setting a time. Is the best time right before I go to sleep? No. Right before you go to sleep, you're exhausted, you're sleepy, that's your junk time. A good time is at night, but not when you're like dead tired. You see what I'm saying? Like, so if your nighttime routine consists of whatever, like a good time is maybe like you come home, like, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, depending on when you sleep or something like that. Before you begin your nighttime routine or whatever, you have that time with God. But you have to be alert. Okay, maybe it's before, like me, I have a bowl of cereal every night, okay? Maybe it's like before your Cocoa Krispies or something like that, okay? Something at night, at the end of the day, so I can examine something, but not too late. Second thing, begin with prayer. If you're going to pray the Egbeia, 11th and 12th hour is the way to go. Pick one of them, both of them, but it's a good way because it gets you in the mindset of preparing for the end. Also pray. Like, it's important to pray that God helps me to see my sins, okay? Because if I ask anyone on the street right now, tell me about your sins, a lot of people are blinded to their sins. A lot of people see, like, maybe what we call them is, I have weaknesses, but it's that guy's fault. Okay, I have an anger problem because that guy really ticks me off. Or I have a greed problem because I don't have enough money in life, or the government, or the man, or something like that. We blame others except ourselves. So pray that God opens your eyes to stop blaming other people and to see what's really going on the inside. Then you begin the process of examining your day. Examine your day, leave no stone unturned. Now again, like I said before, at the beginning this process will take time. But as you become better at it, it will become quicker and quicker and quicker. Okay? But at the beginning, it definitely will take time as you go through the events of the day. Who are the people that I met? The places I went to? Go deeper. The thoughts that I thought, the words that I said. Try to look at your interactions, go through all the different aspects of your day, and see, was there any areas that I missed the mark? Was there any areas that I said something that Jesus wouldn't have said? That I thought something that Jesus wouldn't have thought? I'm not saying you're a horrible person if you thought a thought that Jesus wouldn't have thought. I think many thoughts that Jesus wouldn't have thought. But what I am saying is, if you did, repent, confess, finish. But don't just accept. See what I'm saying? I'm not saying you've got to be 100% perfect. But what I'm saying is, when you miss the mark, just adjust yourself like that. The guide has some helpful hints about, like, areas of sin. Like, has some questions about, like, the sin of lust. Question you can ask yourself to see whether you fell in that area. The sin of pride, sin of envy, things like that. There's no right way to examine yourself. Okay, these are just hints that I'm giving you, but whatever. But the key, though, I'll tell you what the wrong way to examine yourself is. Just looking for big things. Just looking for outside things. That's the wrong way. Look for inside stuff. Look inside the heart. Look at the thoughts. And try to see, like I said, any time that you missed the mark. Okay, so I examined it. What next? Easy. Write it down. Why write it down? Because if you didn't write it down, you will not remember it. Okay? If you didn't write it down, I'm telling you, before I started self-examination, and before I started writing it down, I could have said, if I was going to examine myself every single day and pray repentance, the exact same thing would have been every single day. And every day would be like, I'd be like surprised. Really? I can't believe I did that today. I would fool myself into something like that. But when you write it down, you know the advantage of writing it down? When I write it down, especially if I wrote it down 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days in a row. Me, I'm a competitive person. So what am I trying to do that sixth day? I'm trying to get to the end of the day and not write it down. Okay? I want to get to the end of the day and not write this down. Even if I don't care about becoming like Christ that day, I just don't want to write, like, it's something between me and myself. It's a competition. I don't want to write this down. Because I'm sick and tired of writing the same thing every day in my journal. So all day in my mind, it's playing through. Make it through the day without writing this down. Also, another advantage of writing it down, it helps you, like I said, you're not going to confess every single day. You're not going to go to sacrament of confession every single day. I hope you don't go to confession every single day. At least not if you're confessing to any of the priests here, okay? So if you go a month, 2 months, something like that, like, you can't remember the stuff unless your habit is writing it down. after writing it down, what to do? Repent. Like, the goal is not just to condemn myself. That's where a lot of us fall short. The goal is to repent of my sin. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, it's not up on the screen, but it's in your handout at the bottom. I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. If you're just every day condemning yourself, like, the goal is not to be a depressed person. And that's what's going to happen to you unless you learn about what repentance is. Repentance is, I made these mistakes, God forgive me, and help me to start like a new start. There has to be that new start. How do I do that new start? Well, that's our final one. 5 and 6 are really tied in together. Is reflect on God's goodness. The devil would love to make you think, hey, wow, you have a big list. You're a bad person. Wow, you can't pray tonight. No. Take 5 for a couple days. You're bad. Devil would love to make you think that. But there could be nothing further than the truth. Do you really, like, in case some of you fall into this, of condemning yourself, do you really think that there's any sin that God can't forgive? Because if you think that, that's a really bad sin. What I'm saying is, the sin of thinking that God can't forgive it, that's the sin. Go repent about that one. Because that's the problem that you have in life. If God comes to you and says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as I removed your transgressions from you, and you say, no, God, I don't believe you, that's a sin. If he says that anyone who is faithful to confess their sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, you say, no, that applies to everyone, but it doesn't apply to me. That's a bad sin. The Bible says very clearly that a broken and contrite heart, O God, these you will not despise. Like, I'm not inventing stuff. I'm not saying, it's okay, and tub, and just be good. I'm telling you, the Bible says that there's no sin, when it's repented about, that can't be overcome. And if you believe that there is, then you believe that your Savior didn't do a very good job. That's the bad sin. See what I'm saying? Sin is not a problem, because sin was defeated by the Savior. So there's no such thing as a sin that can keep me from God. Remove this from your mind. Remove it. It doesn't exist. Because God's goodness is much bigger than your sin. Okay? Never underestimate the goodness of God. So the goal of this whole process is not to be depressed people. The goal is to be joy. Repentance leads to joy. Repentance leads to praising God and uplifting, because you see the mercy of God and you see that though my sins are like this, God's goodness is like this. And when my sins is like this, God's goodness is like this. No mountain of sin that God can't climb. I'm telling you, the more you repent and the more you see your own sinfulness and you repent of your own sinfulness, the more you will see the goodness of God. That's self-exam in a nutshell. Like I said, it's not an easy thing. And in fact, if quiet time is hard, self-exam is near impossible then. It's the hardest thing to do, by far. However, it's also the one that's going to benefit you the most. Trust me. You don't believe me. Let's do like a 40-day Pepsi challenge right here. Do it for 2 weeks. Forget 2 weeks too short. Do it for a month. 1 month. Do it between now and the end of the summer. Challenge yourself that even if you don't buy one word of what I'm saying, if you think I'm just full of all kinds of hot air, just humor me. Try it for 1 month in sincerity and in truth, and tell me if you don't see a difference. That's right. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you, and I want to see if you can put your money where your mouth is. If the goal of life is to grow in His image, and the goal of life is to be, then I'm challenging you to every single day examine yourself and see if you've missed the mark or if you haven't. Believe me, I get to the end of my day, I wish there was 1,000 excuses, there's 10,000 excuses for me not to do my self-examination. And I'd be lying if I said that I do it every single day. But here's what I will say, is that the period of my life when I was doing it very, very, very faithfully, was probably the healthiest I've ever been spiritually. I can say that. And I think you'll experience the same thing. But you gotta, like, again, to the doctor example, it's never comfortable going to the doctor and taking off my clothes. It's not comfortable for him to examine me and put stuff in me. It's not comfortable. I hate it. But it's what fixes me when I got stuff going on. Okay? So, I challenge you for the self-examining. Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you from the depth of our heart. We thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful reminder today that no matter how many sins we have, no matter how dark our sins may be, that you're willing to wash us and cleanse us and make us white as snow. Lord, there's so many times where we have those sins and we try to hide them from ourselves, or for whatever reason we don't come back to you. And Lord, we really pray that we can take this challenge today, take this next step on the path, that we can be challenging ourselves every single day and keeping up with our commitment here and examining ourselves to see which areas we're missing the mark in. Lord, we don't want to get to that fearful day and hear that we missed or that we didn't do it right. More importantly, dear Lord, than the negative side, Lord, we want to grow more and more into your image every day. So please, dear Lord, help us in this endeavor. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here, who are busy, who are overcommitted, have all kinds of different stuff that's keeping them from spending that time in self-examination. I pray that you would, like, part the Red Sea in our schedules, in our lives, that we can spend this valuable time with you. Pray for our church here. Pray for our gathering. Pray for our Father, Budim Shoy, to Sony Irini, and all those who ask us, remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.